D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Really going to talk or not?
Sooner or later.
No, okay.
Yeah. Got time to unwind first. Relax.
You people not moving around. I'm bouncing around on the chair right
now. My energy. That's us.
I love this podcast.
There it is. Welcome another week, another edition. The BS and Beer Podcast. We're recording live here at the SEC Sports Pub. With me, to my right, Heath Elson-Son. To my left, Tomas Mauricio. I'm Dave Romero. I'm your host. And for the next 2 hours, we'll be talking more Saints and useless information than anyone needs to know about. So grab a drink, sit back, because from Ruston to Monroe, Eros to another place somewhere over there that Vienna. I haven't looked up. Which one?
Vienna.
Vienna. Is that really a place? Are you messing with me? I thought that was, wasn't that in Spain or something? Grab a drink, sit back, relax, because we're going to do this BS and beer style. Gentlemen.
That's a serious blowtorch.
We're
going all the way over to Italy.
We're covering a lot of ground. Covering a lot of ground. Hey, listen, I one of the things I noticed first was Larry Warford goes out with an injury. Lackluster
where
performance.
Am I? Where,
I know.
Where
yeah.
am I?
He was. Yeah. And the thing is, though, look, we have Calamente. He's done well.
Yes.
The thing about it is you can't replace that girth that you got with. I mean, it's a discussion we had on Sunday.
That's right. We
now
did.
Calamente plays a little tackle.
You were talking length. I was
he
talking
got the,
girth.
He got a length. He can play a little tackle sometimes. But it's really a it's argument. Length versus girth. You know. And I mean, it's been had many times, but it's an
That's
argument
correct.
That you really got. And I don't know if we came up with a solution or an answer.
Well, you just got to have both.
You got. Not everybody has
not
that.
Not everybody, but some lucky.
You know, I mean, I would say.
Some lucky stiffs do.
I'm just saying, look, Larry Warford, big guy, you know, got paid a lot of money. Girth, Clemente's a backup. He's playing well. He's versatile. Plays a little tackle, plays guard. You know,
so we have a combination on the team, is what you're
saying. On the team, yeah,
the
but
team, we
like
have
as an individual. We have length and girth
but
on the team.
But we just don't have the combination together.
No, I mean, no, you got guys like a left tackle. No,
oh.
he. I don't know. But we got a left tackle. He's got length and girth. But he, you know, so I don't know. It's just things like that that you need to
contemplate.
And I don't know if we've come up to a conclusion
as long
of which
you don't
is more important.
You're good.
Yes. All right. I'm just gonna jump right into it.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
All right, we got an action-packed show for you today. As usual, it's always action-packed, full of intrigue, suspense, all the different things that you need to have a good show. We got it right here. The Pro Bowl, the Saints Pro Bowler has been released.
Yeah.
Drew Brees.
Yep.
Mark Ingram.
Yep.
Alvin Kamara.
Yes.
Michael Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Jordan.
Yes.
Marshawn Lattimore. Quite frankly, I mean, that's about what you expect. I mean, if those guys wouldn't have made it, it would have been a little, like, disappointing or whatever. But looking at this.
I'm surprised Devontae Harris didn't make it.
Devontae Harris. Well, you know, maybe he's going to make the alternate team. Now, you got to realize if the Saints make the Pro Bowl, these guys aren't going to be able to play. And seeing how the Super Bowl. And seeing how Devontae Harris isn't even on the team, maybe he'll be able to play.
He can
be a fill-in.
There you go.
All right. So, also, you know, lots of things as far as we were down a couple of guards. Very lackluster performance. Larry Warford, we mentioned a little early in the show, went down with a concussion. Pete was already down. I think it had a huge impact on the way the Saints played or the way they're capable of playing and the way the team is built now. Extremely vital. You also had, I don't know, it's just a lackluster performance. And, you know, if I'm going to be a homer, I could defend it and say, and Heath, I know you have a different way of looking at it, but if you know, if I'm being a homer, I'll say, you know, they got a big game coming up next week against Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah.
And was it that the Saints just, you know, they got up 10 points and they just kind of shut it down? And the Jets, I will say, the Jets have been resilient all year long. Maybe they just felt, you know, they weren't going to quit. The Saints kind of put in a half-hearted effort, and you got a close game. And yeah. Aided by a bunch of turnovers.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Something that we're going to have to jump into. Also, the ton of good games this weekend, and mainly because of the implications for not only the NFL playoffs, but my fantasy team, which, by the way, I finished in first place and had my first game this weekend. I beat the brakes off the team that I was playing. I kind of lucked into Aaron Rodgers, just yeah. Kind of heard he was coming back. He was on, you know, everybody cut him. I picked him up. Really, he didn't do much better than Stafford, who's my normal guy.
Yeah.
But this week he went back to IR. I don't know if you heard about it today.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he went back to IR. The Packers are out of
They're
it.
Out, so there's no sense in him
No point in yeah. Pushing anymore.
Yeah.
So now that option's out the door for me fantasy-wise. But they – golly, if it wouldn't have been for Rodgers throwing three interceptions, he had a really good game.
Yeah.
But he threw three interceptions mm-hmm. and still at the end of the game had a chance to beat the
yep.
Panthers,
yep.
Which would really
yep.
help.
Oh, yeah.
Well, again, the Panthers wins simply from they're a one-dimensional team, truly. If you stop Cam Jordan from running, you can beat the Panthers.
Cam Newton.
No, sorry, Cam Newton, not Cam Jordan. My mistake. Big mistake. Cam Newton, yes. If you stop him from running, which is what the Saints did, we beat them twice because that's what they made sure that the defense was aware, stay in your lane. You know, because if you watch these games, the Panthers aren't any big shakes until – he makes the run around the end. All of a sudden, he's down the field, 20 yards, 30 yards. As I said before, they've come to the conclusion that if he only lasts for a couple years, so be it. He's
right.
Going to run.
Right.
Because he cannot be that drop-back passer that sits in a pocket. He can't do it.
Right.
You know? He's too inconsistent.
If you take that element out of his game, he really isn't
that's
that
it.
Good. He's just simply not that good a quarterback. I mean,
that's
he's just
correct.
A running quarterback.
That's
yeah,
correct.
Too
that's
inaccurate.
Correct. Yeah, too inaccurate. So, you know, I don't see any, you know, any biggie there. But they're still alive. You have to understand they're still alive.
Oh, yeah.
Again,
you know?
So we had this big winning streak that we went on after starting 0-2, and now it's a dogfight. The playoffs literally started last week. And now, after the Saints lost to Atlanta on Thursday night, the last three games.
Well, they didn't lose to Atlanta, but that's okay. Go ahead.
Well,
I guess. The score was.
Yeah.
then Monday night. A game that, I tell you, I do not know how Tampa Bay fans, who are true fans, that just passionate about their team.
They should be happy as
don't,
that.
Well, I don't know how they don't just shoot themselves in the face. I mean, that team, I'm pulling for Tampa Bay, and it's so frustrating.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is just, you know, two steps forward, four steps back, or however the analogy goes, and it's just frustrating. But at the end of the game, still had an opportunity.
Yeah.
If it wouldn't have been for a fumble,
yep.
They were going in to take the lead. They still held on. I think they got that onside kick.
Yes, they did.
And a great play. One of the best onside kicks I've seen in a long time. But they got the ball, but they can only get to about a 54-yard field goal, and the kicker just didn't have the leg.
No, he had the leg. It just went off to the right.
Well, here's the thing, though. It's like just like golf. When you overswing, when,
that's
it's,
correct.
When it's out of your range and you overkick,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden
it
crazy
breaks.
Things
yes,
happen. You know,
that's
so
correct. That's
so
correct.
I think he just tried to put more leg into it
yes,
than he actually
I agree.
Had. And,
I agree.
You know, so and then that leaves we kind of already doing an NFC South preview. But, man, the Rams went in and just beat the brakes off of Seattle.
Yeah.
And the thing that I love about it, last week Seattle went to –
Jacksonville.
And Jacksonville beat the brakes off of them.
Yeah.
And they didn't like it at all. And, you know, they're trying to be the big bully. And when the new young bully beats them up, they were getting dirty and nasty. Mm-hmm. Same thing happened this week where they just start getting, well, you can't beat us legitimately. So they start, you know, being just dirty. But having said that, at some point they said, okay, well, that's not working either. And they just gave up.
Well, when you don't have the right personnel on the offensive line to block for Wilson, you can only expect so much.
Right. Hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew, Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, Sports Talk 97.7. We're just getting started. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, it's going to be the good, the bad, and the ugly.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Welcome in the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, the New Orleans Saints. You like that, huh? They win in a lackluster performance, 31-19 over the New York Jets in the Superdome. Now, look, I've already started with my homer excuses, and I try not to be the homer. Maybe it's just me trying to convince myself because, Heath, you brought up some stuff that, you know, over the course of the last few weeks.
Yeah. Just not that impressive. You know, I mean, I don't know. I'm not down on a team. Don't get me wrong. I'm afraid that they peaked. You know, they had that 8-game winning streak, and then now all of a sudden, the team just hasn't looked all that great. You know, they went into Atlanta. Yeah, I know they were bad calls and blah, blah, blah. They lose that. Well, I think they came into this game, they had lost 2 out of 3, if I'm not mistaken, coming into the Jets game. And then the Jets game, just looked like a team that, yeah, you could say they look past them to Atlanta. This is a professional team. They shouldn't be. I don't know. I just can't get excited.
While I agree with you that they're a professional team, I've never bought into the idea that if you pay me more money, I'm going to care more. to a degree, yes. But at the end of the day, these guys, which when we can get into the psychology, every one of them believes that's what they expect. That what they're getting paid, that's what they deserve. So, well, you know, we can argue that point, but I don't think they're looking at it. So, I do think it's human nature to go in and it happens. I mean, that's why it's a thing. That's why people talk about a trap game. It's just the human nature is that you look past the game against the guys who aren't very good to a huge game coming up next Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons.
Well, see, I think that there are a couple of things that you said that are wrong. Sorry. First of all, you're looking at the idea of money from the perspective of how old are you, 57, 58?
Yeah, something like that. Uh-huh. 22, bro.
All right. But you're not looking at it from a 22-year-old, a 23-year-old. I mean, you have to start thinking about how old these people are. You know, they get that first rookie contract, and by the time they're ready, there's your 4 years, they come up. How old are these guys? 24, 25. To these guys, and you said that, you know, they think they're worth it. Yeah, when they get that big, giant contract, at first, you know, like, they're coming up to it, they're playing hard, man. I'm playing for my money. Feed me, you know.
Right.
Pay the man, you know. And then they get that big paycheck, and then some of them back off. Because, like, hey, I got my money. I can take it. And then I have to make a business decision.
Right.
You know. So, but this is why it's so difficult to really evaluate a lot of times these players, because they're immature. You know, they've been coddled all their lives, and so all of a sudden, you know, you can't, they're not thinking the way that you and I think, who've experienced life and have had our hardships and know what bad and good is. So, you know, I'm just coming at it from that point of view.
Well, I agree with that, but I guess my point is simply that it's hard to get up for a game against a bad team when you have such a huge game coming up the following week. And that's how they played. They started off, they played well, they came out to a 10-point lead.
First three drives, 17 points. You can't fault anything about that.
And then you kind of turn it off. But the Jets never did. The Jets kept playing. And while they weren't impressive.
Badly, but okay.
I mean, I don't know if they played okay. They play competitively. I mean, quite frankly, they didn't play bad football. They just don't have any players, in my opinion. They have the one kid, and I won't even be able to remember his name, the receiver that's
skinny,
like
receiver,
a,
Anderson.
Yeah, Anderson. He's a beanpole. You have a 56-year-old running back, the kid that played from, you know, he's my age. Yeah, Matt Forte, according to you, from Tulane.
Yeah.
Other than that, Slidell, you know, Louisiana. Powell is a decent.
Their tight end is pretty good. Can't think of his name off the top of my head now. But
bottom line is they were missing their best defensive player, the defensive lineman that they suspended because of Richardson.
Well, it didn't show.
He was on the sideline.
I said it didn't show.
Yeah.
But long story short,
their run defense didn't look like they missed him at all.
No. So we can get into that too, but I guess we might as well go ahead and break into the good, the bad, and the ugly.
All right, go ahead.
And we can talk about some of these things.
You a bounty hunter? Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for Good and the Bad and the Ugly.
All right, so why I have Heath engaged, and he had, listen, he just disagrees, and I want him to say the things that he says off the air.
I got nothing.
Come on now. Look, I'm like, he thinks he's saying, and maybe I should let you say it, but I don't know if you're going to say it, because that's how you do me. That's how you do me. But listen,
what are you talking about?
I think the Saints, I think it's human nature. I think what happened was a human nature. It was a trap game situation. The Saints, they didn't play as poorly as it felt when I watched the game again a little bit earlier. They didn't play as poorly as I thought they played on Sunday. Some turnovers, some ill-advised, you know, like passing right before halftime. The Saints, I guess, want to get a couple more points. Breeze throws the interception and then allows the Jets to get on the board. Coleman's a guy.
Some things are healthy to talk about.
One a day men's.
Coleman gets more than his one a day, and bad things happen. So, yeah. You know, when he gets that second one and gets his one a day plus iron, not too many problems.
The constipation happens.
Yeah, well, then obviously he got a little backed up when he got his more opportunities. And the thing is, I'm not going to say he didn't just, like, he took a hit from Adams, the LSU kid.
Yeah.
And it was a monster hit. But then, okay, then you say, oh, well, that's an excuse. And then the next one, he catches a ball, and the guy comes and strips it out of him, strips it from him after he basically catches and turns upfield. You know, those things can't happen. But yet, this is more of why I'm not a big fan of Coleman. He had been playing. Okay, I want to agree with so many people out there are saying that Coleman, oh, he's improved. Look at, and I look at him and say, man, he catches one or two balls a game. Blocking, absolutely. He does a very good job blocking. At the end of the day, you know, I got offensive linemen to block. We need to find receivers that can catch and handle the ball and then do some blocking as well. Maybe it's harder to find those guys than I imagine.
Well, you know, I mean, the thing about Coleman is he's still, well, at least he came in supposed to be the fourth guy or whatever, right? I mean, with Snead's disappearance this season, I know he's been more than that. But anyway, I'm not going to get on a thing about Coleman.
And the fact that Ginn was out of the game.
Yeah, well, that was
he got elevated.
Yeah, and so, but yeah, I just, I don't know, man. You know.
Just tell me what.
I'm in a mood today or whatever. It's like I'm looking at the team right now, and I guess it's also compared to looking at some of the other teams, what the Rams did this weekend in Seattle and what the Vikings are doing and these other teams that we were competing against for these playoff positions, the fact that the Panthers continue to win. And I'm looking at the Saints and the, you know, the loss to Atlanta and the way that looked and the lackluster thing at home following that game against the Jets. And I don't know. I don't see the kind of grit and resilience that we saw in this team earlier. And I know you say, well, that's not when it shows when you're winning. And that's right to an extent. But I just wanted them to see, you know, you're in a pivotal position right now. You're fighting for playoff positioning. You're fighting to even win the division at this point. One slip up and you could lose this division.
Right.
And you come home, and you got a team like the Jets. I wanted to see him put, you know, really put it on. I wanted to see something. I wanted to see him wax the Jets and get this thing turned back around.
So, from my perspective, I understand what Heath is saying, and certainly I think that all of us wanted to see the Saints come out there, and every time they had the ball, no punting.
Yeah, now, right.
All we wanted
right.
to see was down the field three, down the field seven, down the field seven, down the field three. That's what we wanted to see. No, Thomas Morstead, take the night off. But we didn't see that. Now, having watched the Tampa Bay-Atlanta game, here's what I take from it. Tampa Bay almost beat Atlanta. What do they have? They have receivers, and they have a tight end. That's what they have. What are the Saints missing? Receivers and tight ends. Atlanta's beatable. Atlanta can be beat.
I mean, I don't even say beatable. I don't think they're that great, but they are talented.
They have talent. You know, I know you posted on Twitter that, you know, you thought they're just an average team, and I responded. They're not an average team.
Well, they have way above average talent.
Yeah.
But they're playing average football.
Well, but they're playing good enough to win. So I guess it's kind of like the Saints. But what I saw, and, you know, we haven't gotten to the good, bad, and ugly, but, you know, what I saw is that we don't have that tight end. That is, you know, if you lose Ginn and Snead is nowhere to be found, then you have to have somebody. It can't be all Michael Thomas because they're going to roll two, they're going to roll three. Pretty soon, they'll have, you know, six people on top of Michael Thomas and say, dare you to throw the ball someplace else.
Well, that's what I noticed in this game, and I made a note of it that especially after the two fumbles by Coleman.
Yeah,
is
that
was the only ball. And but even prior to that, they threw the ball to Thomas, and then it, the only three people touching the ball was
Snead had one catch.
Ingram, Kamara, and Thomas were the only people touching the ball.
Yep.
And it just at some point you need, just for the sake of being able to confuse the defense a little bit, you have to have other options.
Yeah.
And right now, it doesn't seem like the Saints are, listen, I didn't really see this initially watching the game on Sunday, but earlier watching the game again, Kamara, I mean, everywhere he went, there were two guys, and he was getting, they were populating to Kamara anytime he got the ball.
Yeah.
And it makes me a little nervous, and I guess somewhere, and this is the home, I completely realize that all this stuff I'm saying is a lot of homerism, but I'm like that, you know how like we were like, man, as soon as bro comes back from IR,
yeah,
there's always a guy that the fans think that when he comes back, it's going to fix whatever problem we have.
Yeah.
And right now, I'm thinking Snead is the guy. Well, as soon as he puts it together, and it's just not happening. Yeah. I mean.
Well, you know, there's no doubt that Coleman is in the doghouse after the second fumble, which the first one I can forgive. You know, I can not forgive, but I can live with it. You know, because he got stood up. He got hit. Adams, it was a good shot. No doubt about it.
That was a good hard shot.
Okay. But the second one is no excuse.
Agreed.
Because he caught the ball, and he did nothing to put that ball away. And I don't care if you have the hands of Lou Alcindor, to those of you who don't know who that is. Kareem Abdul. No. Okay. So, you know, you can't hold that ball with 2 points of pressure. You just can't do it. You know? I mean, anybody would have knocked that ball out. You know? Brown would have knocked that ball out. Yeah. Brandon Brown. But anyway, all I'm saying is that you don't have what you need at tight end or wide receiver.
Yeah, we are missing some elements that I think that is going to cause us problems, and I think that's why we're just not rolling. Because, look, Breeze is being very efficient. Thomas, he just made the Pro Bowl. The guy's there.
Yeah.
Kamara is doing things. Yeah, tell everyone what you were telling me earlier about the amount of yards relative to Bell and Gurley.
He's one of only three receivers in the league that have over 600 yards receiving and 600 yards rushing, the other two being Le'Veon Bell and Todd Gurley. However, Kamara only has 99 rushes. And if you gave Bell and Gurley only 99 rushes and took their yards per rush average, they wouldn't have more than 450 or so yards.
Wow.
Yet he's over 600. So it just shows you how, you know.
Impressive
because right. He has the yards per carry along with it.
And so it shows to me how exceptional Kamara is. Thomas is exceptional.
This was all before Sunday.
No, Gurley went off on Sunday. Yeah. Okay, I didn't realize that was before Sunday. But still, the point still remains. And somehow or another, with these guys, and Breeze is being very efficient, but what we're lacking is just the big plays and having somebody else that can get open. So when they double Thomas, then you say, man, I'm going over here to the one-on-one. You know, and now I think people are starting to game plan. And I say starting, I think over the course of the last three or four games, people are starting to take Kamara, like, serious is not even the right way to say it. I mean, he goes out and they swing him around on in the flat, and there's three guys, two guys, running to Kamara. Now, you would think that would open up something else.
Yeah.
It should.
Yeah, it should. A tight end, which we don't have.
Right. I know you love the tight end, but somebody else. It doesn't have to be a tight end. It can, as long as it's not Thomas, because they're doubling Thomas, then they're taking a linebacker and a safety, and they're going to Kamara. And I guess nobody else is able to get open. I mean, that's the only thing I can say, or just – Breeze refuses to throw the ball to anybody else other than those two.
Well, there were a couple of times after the two fumbles by Coleman that Coleman was wide open, where he rolled out and had he had more than one option, and Coleman was actually the more open and better, yeah, and he just flat out.
No, I remember play in particular. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And you know what? And just to pile on a little bit more, and I'm saying this with a smile, tongue in cheek, when Breeze threw the interception where he got hit, he was throwing the ball to Coleman. Yeah, so it's like Coleman, a linebacker, flashed. So Breeze held the ball one more. So he went to throw it. and a linebacker flashed in front of him. Coleman was behind him, so he had to wait until Coleman moved over a little bit more, yeah. and he went to throw it, and Coleman was open, and he got hit in the arm, interception. So I tell you what, and I don't want to pick on him too much, especially for things that aren't his fault. You know, he probably would have caught that ball. But I do believe it's hilarious that if he just stuck with his one ball a day, today we'd be making jokes and doing our one-a-day jokes. And be like, you know, really, man, they should try to get that guy to ball more. You know what I mean? But they did, and things just didn't work out for him. And it's almost, I don't know, it's a little disheartening because you at this point you want to be building confidence going into the stretch run into the playoffs. And quite frankly,
yeah,
he's kind of losing confidence in guys, and
that's my whole thing.
And, it's kind of
they peak too soon, you know.
I mean, you're using a whole bunch of these cliches lately, and I feel like I got to defend some stuff, but I don't have time. Hey, it's the BS and Beer Podcast Sports Talk, 97.7. Rustin Monroe, don't go anywhere. When we come back, we're gonna have John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast. Welcome back. Dave Romero, Sports Talk 97.7 and the BS and Beer Podcast. I have with me on the line John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. John, it's the holidays, man. You got all your shopping done?
Yeah, I think I'm good to go, man. Overbought for my nearly four-year-old son. We got Christmas and his birthday 6 days later on the 31st. So I'm tapped out, man.
That's the worst, John. Whenever you have your birthday, it's right next to Christmas, and people try to give you that two-for-one gift. That ain't cool. Don't give me the two-for-one. I want two parties. I want two gifts.
He gets it separately, so we're going to at least do that for a few years.
All right. Well, fair enough. Listen, the Saints, they pull out a victory 31-19. And listen, there was a lot of sloppiness going on. Having said that, there were some plays in the game. You know, Brandon Coleman had a couple of fumbles, and I know, you know, the ifs and skiffs and all that other stuff Tomas likes to talk about. But man, really, I didn't think they played as poorly as it kind of felt after watching the game again later. I felt like if some things cleaned up by players who really, you know, Brandon Coleman's not a guy who's going to get a lot of touches in the game. He did. Things didn't work out, and I'm trying to see if how the game played itself out. That maybe the Saints played a little better. Am I being too optimistic?
Well, look, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said they pulled it out, because you know I think, and we talked about this last week, man. You're talking about you can't let this Jets team linger, and they had to start strong, and which they kind of did. You know, they were out to a 17-7 lead, and everything kind of looked good from there, and then. You know, you get two opportunities or a couple opportunities to put some more points on the board and kind of play into that 16.5 crazy point favor that you had. And unfortunately, they weren't able to do that. And, you know, that's just how the nature of the beast is within the NFL. But look, I think there was some encouraging things on offense. You know, the team still went over 400 yards, even if you take away that Mark Ingram run. I think their run game wasn't as strong as that could be. But, you know, Michael Thomas did some great things, and Drew Brees did a pretty good job. And I think the defense played really well, given that they were down A.J. Klein.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things you kind of alluded to in the running game and the injuries, Larry Warford went down, and that puts us our two starting guards down. Now, Andres Pete was dressed out for the game. I think he only played one play. They had him in, let's say, you know, if there's an emergency, he could play. So that's encouraging. But I really feel like this is a completely different Saints team if their two guards are not in the game.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Andres Pete, you know, one snap, that's exactly what he played in. And, you know, Warford going out, it looked like it might be a shoulder area or something, but later they said it was a concussion. So although that's not the best news, because obviously you got to be in the concussion protocol and such and wait, but hopefully he's good to go because this team needs him. I mean, he's been a very underrated pickup, I believe, for the Saints team. And look, you have him and Pete out, and you're stuck with Senyo Kalamete and Josh Laribius. They just don't get the push, and they just don't have as many reps with Max Unger and that you'd like, and especially with Ryan Ramczyk. Just the continuity there isn't as strong. I mean, with Kalamete, yes, but with Laribius in, no.
Right, and Kalamete, I think, has done a yeoman's job. He's been very serviceable. Matter of fact, I'd almost say maybe a little bit better than serviceable. We haven't had much of a drop off, but what we don't get it's kind of like the receiver that always catches the ball. He'll get you a first down, but he doesn't make the big play. When you have your backup guards in the game, you notice that the running game, you don't get the same push. Now, he doesn't get beat all the time, so it's not like he's not a good player. It's just you lose that wow factor when he's in the game. And a lot of people don't notice that because you really notice the running backs. You notice the quarterback, the receivers. But when the offensive linemen, you just don't notice that those big guys, Pete and Warford, get that big push. So Calamenti, a good player, just not the same as the guys who he's replacing.
Yeah, especially when, you know, when they had to kick out Andres Pete and do all that when Armstead was out and of action and such. I mean, just, you know, I think there's two folds to this. And I think, first of all, the Saints offensive line needs a lot of credit because, you know, for the most part, they've kept Drew Brees upright. Even with the patchwork, you know, you don't have Zach Streif in there and you're not going to have him. And just given what they've been able to do on the ground and protection for Drew Brees, that's been great. But at the same time, you know, you got the playoffs creeping in. You got a real physical battle on your hands coming with Atlanta visiting New Orleans. And obviously your expectation is to be in the postseason. So now's the time where you got to get healthy. You got to stay healthy. And, you know, don't be surprised to see a lot of these guys play at, you know, 70 or 80% when it comes time to January.
A little bit earlier, I had mentioned Brandon Coleman and his fumbles. Now, especially off the heels of, you know, turning the ball over twice, when generally he's a guy that, you know, if he gets one or two balls thrown his way the entire game, to have two fumbles is pretty critical. And it really starts making me question again. Now, the questions are starting to get bigger and the noise is getting louder. Willie Snead, I mean, he had a great reception for a first down on a play. But, man, where is Willie Snead? Have you heard anything, any rumblings, any rumors? What can you tell us about that, John?
I mean, nothing concrete, nothing, you know, I guess of any substance. But, look, you got to give the credit to the Jets defense because there were a lot of looks where their coverage downfield was absolutely stellar. I mean, they took their top wide receivers out of the game, then, you know, Michael Thomas, Willie Snead with a lot of double coverage looks. They had everything covered underneath. I mean, there was just virtually nowhere for Drew Brees to put the ball. And, you know, Drew Brees in the past, and, you know, he probably would have forced something in there in double, triple coverage, but obviously, you know, taking the smarter route there. But, look, I think with Snead, you know, if he can't really get it going in the next couple of games, I mean, he's a restricted free agent. You would assume that he and Brandon Coleman, who's also a restricted free agent, come back to the mix. But suddenly, you know, outside of Michael Thomas and maybe Ted Ginn at some times, but you got to have a better wide receiver in the mix for next season.
I agree. I think one of the problems the Saints have is just right now, it just feels like they don't have the weapons. Now, running game is outstanding. Ingram, again, with another huge run, a guy that early in his career you thought was more of a plotter is now turned into a big play back. Kamara, obviously back, he looked healthy. And Thomas has a great game. But outside of those guys, no one else puts any fear into a defensive coordinator for an opposing team.
Yeah, and you know, it's crazy. I hate to go be that person or jump off the ledge, but, you know, when Larry Fitzgerald was available on the trade block, you know, if there was any rumors or interest or some of these other vets that were out there, you know, you just wonder if the Saints would have been able to land somebody, you know, or even get somebody like an Anquan Boldin in the mix, you know, what it would look like, because I feel like the passing threats were there early in the season, but as we've seen throughout the rest of it, I mean, look, if you don't have Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram in the passing game, you know, these Saints wide receivers can't do it by themselves. You don't have Kobe Fleener there anymore, which I think tight end is a huge, huge deficiency for the Saints right now. So, look, I feel like when it comes down to the postseason, you know, the way this team can make a run and get better is really leaning on that front offensive line, and then obviously with Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram being heavy doses.
Yeah, you know, I tell you what, John, I'm still like a kid at Christmas. I'm still holding out hope that all of a sudden things with Willie Snead to start clicking so that we have that additional threat. Now, moving on, Monday night, the Falcons hold on to beat the Bucs. And I'm still trying to figure it out. Now, obviously, the Falcons are coming into to New Orleans on Sunday. It's going to be a huge game. It's another for all the marbles kind of game. Now, the only thing is I'm trying to figure out on Monday night, were the Bucs playing with heart, or the Falcons really just not as good as they've been in the past, and they just not as good a team. Which one is it, John? I need to know.
Look, I firmly believe, look, I don't use this lightly, but I feel like they've been the luckiest team in the NFL this season. You know, so many close games. Look, when the Saints marched in there on Thursday Night Football, excuse me, they were the better team. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. On paper, they're better. Everything that they've done was better. But unfortunately, they lost. But Atlanta just seems to they can get out on you early, but then they can't hold a lead, or they have something that breaks down. I think they're just really not as good as their record indicates. And look, I think a Saints typical Sean Payton petty fest is in order on Sunday, because I feel like this Atlanta Falcons team really needs a rude awakening. And look, if New Orleans can do it, I would think that would sink the Falcons for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, they're still basically the same team that went to the Super Bowl last year. And when I look at the individual components, you know, their running backs, the receivers, you know, listen, as much as we give Matty Ice a lot of hard time, he's a very solid NFL quarterback. And just it's just amazing to me, their defense, linebackers are fast, they have some good defensive backs. I mean, they have a guy that led the league in sacks last year, and for whatever reason, just the pieces don't complete a whole team. It's more like just individual guys as opposed to an efficient unit.
Yeah, and you know what stood out to me in that game is a couple things, and you know, you heard it if you watched the game, but things that the Saints are going to have to do. Devontae Freeman is obviously going to have to be a focal point for this team on defense. And they got to get some pressure after Matt Ryan, because if you're going to let Matt Ryan sit in there for 3, 4, 5 seconds in the pocket, he's going to find those guys wide open, and it's just a matter of time. It's just like Drew Brees. You can't leave him in the pocket and expect, you know, things to just not happen for you. It's just mind-boggling how that happens. So I think this pass rush, the Saints has got to get going. They really got to get after Matt Ryan. Obviously, I know that they picked him off last time, 3 times when they met on Thursday night. But look, you just got to play some of your best defensive football. You got to put together that complete game that Sean Payton, Drew Brees, and the rest of the team have been talking about, because we haven't seen it this year.
No, we haven't seen it yet. Hopefully, we'll see it Sunday, and I would love to see the Saints show a healthy team and start to put it all together. I'm talking to John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. You can find him at Twitter at John J. Hendricks. John, thank you so much for coming in, man. We look forward to talking to you next week, and have a Merry Christmas in the process.
You too, man. Definitely make sure you give that family all the love they need, man.
All right, bro. Thank you, man. Talk to you later. Hey, this is the BS and Beer Podcast on 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. I'm Dave Romero. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Interesting break. Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio. Sports Talk 97.7. We're here. We're talking Saints. That's what we do. It's all we do. We got into all kind of different issues last segment. We didn't scratch the surface on the good, the bad, and the ugly. So I'm going to go with Tomas, because I feel like Heath likes to get warmed up, get his motor running. I don't want to put him on
get
the spot.
Get your motor running.
Head out
on the highway. Okay.
That was much better. You know, he called me out. I forget what he's doing. And I started singing with him, and he gave me a hard time because I wasn't harmonizing. Yeah. I was like, oh, well, I was just. Anyway, so.
I can't.
But
say.
That actually.
In case you didn't know.
No, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. You keep telling me you play keyboards and all this stuff, and I wanted him to come play with the band. He didn't want to. I think he was intimidated with our rock and rollins.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we was up there. He's probably like, I'm not getting up there and embarrassing myself with those knuckleheads.
No. That's right.
So, all right, give me a good from the game there.
I got nothing.
Okay.
All right, from my perspective, I think the good in this game was Mark Ingram. That's who I think I would give my good award to, because Ingram still playing hurt, still has a toe issue, but he sucks it up. And those two runs that he went on were difference makers in this game. And Ingram plays hard no matter what. He may not be he's not Gale Sayers, You know, he's not going to be, you know, the greatest running back ever, but he has heart. And he plays hard every single game. And, you know, when we first got Ingram, I was not a fan at all.
No,
I was
I think it might be just this year before you start turning the
last
corner.
Last year, I started turning a little bit. I thought last year he showed, you know, this year I give him all props because I really think the man plays exceptionally hard. He'll do anything from this for this team. So my good is the play of Mark Ingram in this game.
He
can't disagree with that one.
No.
My good is it was a win.
Yeah. I mean, that's going along with the theme that you've been this entire show so far.
So flipping the coin a little bit, looking at it from another angle, team didn't really play all that well. They didn't look that inspired, but they got the W anyway. So,
all right. Well,
we'll call that a positive.
And it is a positive. It's hard to win this league. Don't you know all those cliches?
Yeah.
Don't you know the cliches?
Yeah.
Okay, mine, I'm going to go with Michael Thomas. The guy's beasting out. If he learned, okay, I'm going to use this, and I shouldn't because I'm just perpetuating the NFL Network's thing. If he had a little toe drag swag, he has another touchdown that game.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I just realized he didn't have the first touchdown either.
No.
It was a fourth down situation.
Yeah.
The Saints threw him like just a really quick pass. The Saints did. Drew Brees did. And he didn't get in. He was just short. This is a good call. He had an opportunity for a big three touchdown game, and I think he only had the one. So, right. But having said that, again, with the problems with that, I think there's a loss of confidence in. Obviously, I want to spend a whole segment talking about Snead. But where is he? Why is it? I want to know there are things going on that we obviously aren't aware of. But back to the point, the only guy that is touching the ball that isn't a running back is Thomas, but he's making the most out of it. He's a pro bowler. And the thing about it is for a guy that's not really a speed merchant, he seems to be pretty unstoppable. He's tough. His hands are incredible. And there's my good. So we're going to move along to the bad. Now, Heath, I don't know if I should even let you have an opportunity. Should I even give you a turn?
Sure, why not?
Go ahead.
Let's see. So... I think I don't even know if I could say that because you just reminded me of the two big Ingram runs and everything. But otherwise, I don't know if I want to say the offensive line performance or just the overall running game in general. The Jets really stuffed us there at the line a lot of the time in this game. And
you can go with the running game.
I guess the running game in general,
right.
Yeah.
Tomas.
Well, my bad, I've been debating whether it's bad or it's ugly. But I'm going to go with bad. And that is, you were talking about Coleman. That's going to be my bad. I think at this point, you have the experience you need. You need to know better. First fumble, like I said before, I can kind of write that off. But the second fumble, no way. That second fumble was not good enough for a one-a-day.
Some things are healthy to talk about.
One-a-day men's.
There you go. So I'm just saying to you that I think that I can appreciate that he's a great blocker. But as you said, Dave, we have plenty of choices on offensive line. What we need is a receiver. So you're 6'6". You don't play like you're 6'6". You still don't play like you're 6'6". On occasion, you make a catch. You know, not good enough. We need somebody to balance out so that Michael Thomas doesn't get rolled up two and three defenders in every game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to touch on a little bit of what you were saying with the loss of – with Pete being out of the game and then the loss of Warford and the way that concussion looked, I don't think that he'll be back this week. I wish he was. This Saints team is not only a completely different team when we have our starting offensive line in the game and even more specifically – when we have our guards, because while we might lose something in pass blocking, when the two guards are in the game, when Pete and Warford are in the game, we manhandle other our defensive lines. We own the trenches. And when they weren't in there, now all of a sudden you start seeing that lack of productivity. I mean, Alvin Kamara, very unproductive in the run game. And watching the film, it just was very unimpressive. And the same thing with Ingram. He had the big run, but if you take those few runs out, a lot of it was I've gotten accustomed to seeing the 4-yard runs and the 6-yard runs, and then they break a big one. This, we're back to the 1-yard loss, 2-yard gain, the right there at the line of scrimmage kind of runs, and it worries me because now with Warford, who's also missed a little bit of time, he had the domino injury. Pete's been in and out of the lineup. We need to get these guys healthy.
Well, I'm going to say to you this because I wanted to say it before. I believe that the major reason that Kamara was shut down is because I've heard these offensive linemen say this before. They don't block the same way for Kamara that they block for Ingram. And they said it's much easier to block for Ingram than it is for Kamara because of the way they approach where they hit the line. And so when you have your two starting guards who know what to do out of the game, then you have two backup guards playing in the game. They're just not as efficient because they don't know the differences in the blocking schemes for the two running backs. So that's all I'm going to say about that.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration.
Okay. I appreciate your input on that.
There you go.
But they have not, those comments have not been evaluated. So anyway, but I do agree with you. I think that now I got to get to my bad. I'm starting to be concerned. Not starting. It's an obvious concern about our ability to stop the run. Early in the season, I thought we were solid against the run. We weren't fantastic, but we got it done.
Okafor.
Okafor is a big difference. You know, I was hearing all kinds of stuff about Klein being a bust and this and that. That's absolutely silly talk. Now he's gone. He's out for the season. While I like Manti Te'o, I think he's good in run defense. He's not the all-around linebacker Klein is. And we're going to start to see a little bit more erosion of our defensive ability to play the trenches. So now where we earlier in the season where we were controlling the line of scrimmage, now we're losing our linebackers. We lost a very good all-around defensive end in Okafor. Our offensive line is having some struggles. And now I'm starting to worry, and this is where the key thing where you were talking about, Heath, all the other teams that are in contention in the league, the Philadelphias and the Rams and the Saints, I feel like are losing ground because not because we're not as good a team, it's because we're losing the players that made us a better team.
Yeah.
You know, so it's hard to overcome all these injuries, all these different things, and still be competitive. Now, we are competitive. We beat Atlanta. I have no doubt that we'll beat Tampa Bay. We're in a good position.
We did not beat Atlanta.
No, I'm saying on Sunday we will.
Oh.
And so I think that's going to put us in a position where it's just once the playoffs come, I'm just not as confident. Hey, you're listening to the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio. Don't go anywhere. Hour number two coming right up. Sports Talk Radio 97.7. Jingle Bell Square
in the frosty. Hey, don't forget to download and listen to hour number two. And if you like the podcast, don't forget to like us, friend us, follow us, and let the rest of the world know that we're out here. We appreciate you guys.